My name is Alex Miller, and this is the How to Meet with God Daily Workshop. How many of y'all have heard of the concept of quiet time or devotional? Well, this is, to me, one of the most important spiritual disciplines that you could get down. And getting this down is not a matter of just doing it over and over again. It's a matter of meeting with God. How many of y'all are in relationships right now? How many of y'all have friends? Okay, you're in relationships then. All right? That's a trick question. People always kind of like, I don't have a boyfriend or girlfriend. I'm not sure what to do. Yes, if you have a friend, you're in a relationship. What do you have to do to keep that relationship healthy? Communication. Talk. What else? Spend time. What goes into communication?
Sharing, trusting.
What else? I've heard people talking back here. Listening. Okay. Getting to know each other, spending time together. When we talk about quiet times, a lot of times it's I didn't do my quiet time today. I haven't had time to do it today. There's one reason after another. And I think ultimately when we're doing that, we're putting ourselves in a checklist mentality of our quiet time. I don't have to go around and say with my wife, I've been married for 7 years, I did not spend time with my wife today. Shame on me. Slap my wrist and go sit somewhere else. You know, that's not the way it works. I'm married to her. I'm in covenant relationship with her. She's my best friend. I want to spend time with her. And in the Christian life, and especially in the circles we run in, a lot of times this idea of I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to memorize scripture, I have to do quiet times, I have to do all these things, those just become checklists. And my whole point in this workshop, if you don't get anything else, is when meeting with God, this thing we call the quiet time is not an event that is just sheer for itself an event. It is a time alone with the Lord of the universe, our Savior, the King of Kings. And He called us into relationship with Him. And we need to take advantage of that. And so, that is a long point. I'll say it in different ways the whole workshop, so don't worry if you don't get it down right away. Let me pray for us. And if y'all don't mind, be praying throughout the week. My family is sick, and so it's not anything major. It's just kind of tiring. And so be praying for that during the week. But let me pray for us now, and I'm going to pray for them if that's okay too. Father, I thank You for bringing us here together. I thank You for our time to worship You this morning, to listen to what You had to say. And Lord, I pray that You would open our hearts and our minds to hear what it means to meet with You on a regular basis. Father, thank You for our time. Just be able to come to Norman, Oklahoma, spend time here, and to learn from so many people. And Lord, I pray that we take full advantage of that. I do pray for Kim and Kylie and Caitlin, that You would heal their bodies. I thank You for healing Kim already, and that You'd keep Kylie from getting sick, and Caitlin, You'd heal completely. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so this idea that God called us in relationship, what that ultimately means is that we have accepted the fact that He came to earth, fully God, fully man, died on the cross, and 3 days later rose again from the grave. If you haven't accepted that point, then some of what we're going to say later on isn't going to make sense. But if you have, then what He's called you into is not just about going to heaven and saving yourself from hell. That's part of it, but that's not the full thing. Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to the full. If He's given us life to the full, then part of that is meeting with Him. And so, verses like John 17:3, which says, now this is eternal life, that they may know You, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom You've sent, take on a whole different meaning. That idea of know, the Greek word there is a relational know. It's how husbands know their wives. It's not just a mental assertion of a fact. But it's a wonderful, intimate relationship. A friendship. And it ultimately comes down to recognizing God as God and us as humans. Sinners saved by grace. And that He created us from the beginning of time to be in relationship with Him. Now, I came to know Christ when I was 15. I wasn't really taught how to do this quiet time thing. In fact, I joined a Christian fraternity in college, and they talked about that stuff, and I was like, what does that mean? And they're like, reading the Bible and talking to God and praying. It's like, okay, well, that makes sense. Why don't you just call it that? And so the vernacular quiet time is overused, but just if I use it, that, go with it. That's what I mean by that. And it's meeting God on those terms, spending time in His Word and listening and praying. And so we're going to get into those details. But there's a point in this, is this is the basis of all that we do. If we want to have a ministry, if we want to be effective in the kingdom work of God, this is where ultimately it starts with Christ, but being in that relationship, daily time with Him, this is where it is. This is what we have to do. Not to check it off, because He doesn't do the checklist mentality, but to spend time with Him so that we can follow Him where He's going. And to be in understanding with that. Now, I will get talking too much, and I keep hitting this, and they're going to get on to me about that. So if you have a question, just stick your hand up and at any time, okay? And feel free to interrupt me. That's not going to bother me. And I do have questions in here to ask you, but I just want you to know that before I forget. And so let's jump into this. What's the purpose of quiet time? The first one is to spend time with God. And if we're going to spend time with God, if we're going to be with Him, there's a few things that come with that. And the first one is listen to Him. Somebody have their Bible? Why don't you grab Isaiah 51, 1 and 2. And then another person grab Luke 18, 1. And somebody else get Joshua 1, 8. And when we get to that point, just read it out there. And if multiple people start reading, just somebody stop and the other person start over. Okay, so who has Isaiah 51, 1 and 2? This is my theme verse for my life. Go ahead and grab it. You got to read it loud, though. Okay, so what is God's command? The first command of this verse is what? Listen to me. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you're cut and the quarry from which you're hewn. God wants us to listen. See, when we walk around and we don't listen, that's very arrogant. He wants us to be in tune with what He wants, because He wants the best for us. You know, I've gotten caught up in that. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to be the only one that raises my hand here. But how many of us have thought that God wants to rip us off? Me. Maybe none of y'all have. But if you have, that's a lie from Satan. God does not want to rip us off. He cares for us. He wants the best for us. Even when He asks us to do things that in the world's eyes or in our own eyes, we think are hard and puts us in harm's way or makes us look weird, He's wanting the best for us. God's in the process of refining us. And to do that, we have to listen. And I think that starts with spending time with Him daily. It's not the only time, believe me. That's why this is an event. I go on dates with my wife, but that's not the only part of our relationship. This is part of our relationship with God. And if we look at it that way, rather than just a check box to mark off, it becomes a lot easier to sacrifice to spend time with God. It becomes a lot easier to make that the priority, to wake up early or to stay up late, to decide, you know what, I don't need to go spend time with a bunch of people today. I'm just going to spend a little time with the Lord. And that doesn't have to come tomorrow. Listen, you know, let this sink in a little bit. God wants to spend time with you, and He wants you to know what His best is for you. Okay, so we need to listen. The next one, talk with God. Well, I don't remember who. Did I say 5:16 or 18:1? Can you read that for me?
Then He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart.
Always to pray and not lose heart. Isn't that encouraging that He wants us to pray? He wants us to talk with Him? That's part of this time. To me, that's just awesome. And then the last one, meditate on God's Word.
This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success.
Thanks, John. Okay, so God wants us to meditate on His Word. And right now He's talking to Joshua, and He's saying, Joshua, before you go out and you conquer Jericho, before you go out and you take Israel by force, I want you to meditate on My Word. I want you to follow who I am. Follow Me. And so we have to meditate on His Word to be able to follow. Somebody stand up and read this quote by Dallas Willard.
Jesus is a spiritual master who knows exactly what He is changing our hearts and how that change must come about.
Okay, Dallas Willard is a philosophy professor at USC. Do we have any USC students in here? What he's talking about here is that we have to remember that Jesus is the boss and we're the follower. And so part of our quiet time is learning to walk with God. It's learning to spend time with Him, but it's learning to follow Him as well. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30.
Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but do not kill the soul. Neither be afraid of the ones who can destroy both the soul and the body itself. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the Lord your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. All who are weary and burdened, I will bring rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Is anybody ag major in here or have any ag background? Yes, no, anybody? What's a yoke? Somebody describe a yoke. I know that they don't use yokes anymore, do they? Stand up and say it again. Do that.
This is the oxen.
Yeah. It kind of holds them in place and steer them with them. Now they put an older oxen with a younger oxen, right? I believe you. I lived in Houston, Texas. I grew up in about the biggest city in Texas. So, from what I was told, that they put an older oxen with a younger oxen so that the older one can train the younger one. And so I don't know if that's true now because I've just been told something different and that really throws me off. But that's okay. Let's go with that thought there. Now, Jesus is obviously the trained oxen there, and I'm not saying that disrespectfully. He's the one that's guiding us. He's the one directing us. He's the one that's training us. He gives us a burden, doesn't He? He doesn't say, I'm going to take your burden away. He says, come to me, y'all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For my burden is light, I think. I don't want to misquote the Bible. But we still have a burden. We still have something to do. And that's to work in the kingdom of God. No matter what our profession is, no matter what you do in school, what your major is, no matter if you finish school or don't, I'm not telling you to drop out of school. You are called to make disciples, to be a disciple, to follow our Savior. And that yoke picture for me just makes it clear because He's the one that's training us and giving us understanding and wisdom. So we learn to follow. James 1:22. It's not, do not merely listen to the word, so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. James makes it very clear. When you don't apply the Bible, you're deceived. Paul puts it another way. It's pride and knowledge puff up, love builds up. We want to be a people who apply the Bible. Because when we apply the Bible, we realize we need a lot of help too. And we can follow Christ in doing it. We'll talk about application a little bit more, but I'm going to jump into Ephesians here. Somebody get Ephesians 5:15-17.
See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand that the will of the Lord is what the will of the Lord is.
So we need to understand what God's will is. And that idea of redeeming the time is not like the clock is ticking. It's the opportunities God gives us. So when we have the opportunity to do something, we need to be ready to act. And if we're not spending time in the Word of God and spending time learning to follow Him and to spend time with Him, we're not going to act quite the way we should. Any of y'all have been overseas? When you go overseas, and you don't spend time in the Word, is it hard? When you go overseas and you do spend time in the Word, it's hard too, isn't it? But it may be hard, but it's a whole lot more bearable, isn't it? It's because you're learning to respond the way God wants you to. You're grabbing hold of the times. How about on campus? How about in the home? If I don't spend time with God, I'm a lot shorter with my kids and my wife. I'm very grumpy. I'm a very grumpy person naturally. And so whenever the grumpiness really comes out, it's not good. So God really helps me understand that. Now, I'm still accountable when I do my quiet time. I still can try to sometimes get grumpy. I'm not saying that this is like the magic fix for everything. But what I'm saying is that it is there to help us to understand how to redeem the time. And sharing the gospel and encouraging people and loving on them and seeing opportunities to serve. Spending time with the Word of God helps us to do that. So those are the reasons why. Let us talk about the challenges of sin. The challenges of having a quiet time. First one, I think it's pretty clear, is sin issues. Now, how many of y'all have sinned? How many of us have sinned? Yes, every hand should be up in this room. Because if you're not, the Bible says you're a liar. But what you just sinned. Somebody read Psalm 119, 66 through 68.
Teach me good judgment and discernment, for I rely on your commands. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good, and you do what is good. Teach me your statutes.
I think David wrote this psalm. It doesn't say in the Bible, but I think he did. And he said, whenever, before he really listened to God, he was afflicted. Do we want to be afflicted? Y'all, raise your hand if you want to be afflicted. I'm just doing this for effect. I don't want to be afflicted. Yeah. Sin issues will block us from spending time with God. And now, you know, think about your friend or your neighbor, or if you really get bold, think about yourself, but don't say you're thinking about yourself. What are some of the sin issues that we deal with on a regular basis? I'll start. Pride. That's a big one, right? Greed, yeah. What? Did you say what?
Guilt.
I'm going to say false guilt, because there is a guilt that can be working for good. But that's good.
Anger. Guilty.
What else? I'm going to put that one in the green. It says in Genesis, or probably should say somewhere in Genesis, something like that, but Colossians 3, that greed is idolatry as well. What else? Can y'all see that over here? I see y'all's heads kind of twisting. This room is kind of like tight. I didn't realize how tight it was. Anything else? I think that's about what I had too. One of the ones I struggle with, it goes back to that redeeming the time, is just absent-mindedness. It's just not being clued in. You know, and I don't know if that's like a sin or it's just kind of ignoring God and kind of being in my own little world. So I would say that's kind of self-centeredness would be the way. So I'll just put that one up there. It kind of goes with pride. Sorry if you can't read my handwriting. Just ask me to say it if you can't read it. But I think that's a good list there. And I know I'm guilty of every single one of these. And so before I spend time with God, asking God to forgive me of these is what I need to do. There's a little thing on there that says the fix is confess up, get up, and move on. Strapp, our MC, he was my college minister at Texas Tech. And he would kind of, whenever I'd go to him feeling this kind of false guilt stuff or real guilt, he'd be like, well, have you confessed it? And I'd be like, yes or no. And he's like, if it's yes, he's like, well, get up and move on. You know, learn from it. Don't just ignore it, but get up and move on. Move on with your life. Quit dwelling on it. That's a lot of times what we do. And so that's the kind of the fix down there. Another one is relational issues. Somebody get James 4, 1 through 4 there.
What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God.
There's a lot in those four verses. I'm not going to unpack it all. But what I am going to say, and it doesn't say this like directly, you're going to not be able to have a quiet time if you have relational issues. What it does say is relational issues are, one, focused on self. We don't get what we want, so we have fights and quarrels. But two, they throw a roadblock between us and God. And so there are some boundaries here that we have to meet, have to make sure we don't cross. If you are angry or jealous of a person and they don't know it, don't go and say, you know what, I'm angry and jealous of you, please forgive me. Just ask God to forgive you and move on. But if you have sat there and badmouthed that person or done something to their face, then clear it up. Fix the relationship. Humble yourself. God takes relational issues very seriously. He's a relational God, and we're relational people. It's very important you clear up your relationships with people. And it's not fun, it's not easy. You might need to get some counsel beforehand. But take the time to do it. And I promise you, even if it doesn't work out the way you wanted it to do, it's still what God wants you to do. And so take that time. Fix those relationships. There's just kind of idea is broken relationships, strained relationships, those type of things. You know, I had a friend in college, one of my roommates. He went to a bigger church and he's just kind of going and he's real loud and just that sanguine personality, just get to know everybody. And one guy came up to him one time and said, you know, dude, I really have hated you. Please forgive me. And my friend he was an athlete in college. He's a decathlete and a pole vaulter. So if you know any of those guys, they're a little crazy up here because they jump with poles and fling themselves over bars. But it hurt him. It wounded him because this person they were trying to do what was right by confessing their sin, but they went and they broached a boundary that they shouldn't have. They should have just confessed that to God, and if they said it to somebody else, said, you know, I shouldn't have said that about so-and-so. Please forgive me for bringing you in that. But not going and telling this guy who had no clue that this person did that. So if that's the kind of relationship issues that God's bringing to heart, confess it to him. Clear it up with anybody else. But don't bring somebody who's not involved. And don't destroy somebody because you're trying to make yourself feel better. Okay? Deal with your sin. Deal with your relational issues. But make sure you remember that part of forgiveness in relationship is for healing. It's not to make someone aware of you hating them or intensely disliking them. Okay? And so I know that was his story. I don't know if anybody in here is dealing with that. Talk to your college minister if you are, the person you came with. Okay. So this is the fix, is to confess it, get up, and move on. And then spend time with God. Now, how many of y'all came? No, I'm not there yet. Sorry. So another hindrance is excuses. And we've probably used a lot of these. The first one is probably the most common. I'm too busy. Now, I've used this. I'm willing to guess some other people in here have. Does anybody know about Hudson Taylor? Oh, Tyler, you know about Hudson Taylor?
A little bit.
A little bit? Why don't you tell some people about Hudson? He did.
Yeah, a long time ago.
That's right. You need to read his biography, Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. It's really good. Write that down. Really, go buy it, read it, borrow it, do whatever you need to do. Read this man's biography, at least that one. Hudson Taylor. It's a pretty cool name, actually. But anyways, that's besides the point. Hudson was so busy, he could not find time alone with God. He was a medical missionary that started this thing called the China Inland Mission. He was so busy that he would wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and have his quiet time. Spend a couple hours with the Lord. If he fell back asleep, great. If he didn't, he didn't. He'd move on with his day. And the reason why is because it wasn't because he wanted to fit something and check off a box. It's because it was that important to him. He didn't have people knocking on his door or coming to the place where he was staying for him to look at their eyes or look at their teeth at 2 in the morning. He didn't have people coming and asking him spiritual questions. All those things are good. But he knew if he was going to do those things, he had to make time to spend with Jesus. Martin Luther, has everybody heard of him? Martin Luther, one time, and this has been quoted several times, I don't know how accurate it is. He said, "I'm so busy today, I have to spend an extra hour with the Lord." An extra hour. That's not like, he already had spent time with God. He needed to spend more. These are guys who changed the world, literally. Hudson Taylor, people can probably still trace their Christian heritage back to him in China. Tyler and I were in a place in the northwest of China, and we went to go see a guy's grave who was there. That was part of the China Inland Mission in the early 1900s. And this is just a side note, a little missions moment. In this place, the Christians weren't even worthy to be buried with the rest of the people. So they were buried in big mounds apart in a separate part of the cemetery. With big wooden crosses rather than the nice marble headstones that everybody else had. And a lot of them had they could trace their heritage back to this guy and to Hudson Taylor. Who spent time with God, who sacrificed to spend time with God. Now, if Hudson Taylor can do it, we don't have the excuse of we're too busy. Next one is I don't like to read. Does anybody like just totally dislike reading? Okay, get a Bible on audio and start listening to it over and over. If that's your excuse for not having a quiet time. But get in the habit of reading. Neil Walker, the guy at USC, says leaders are readers. Start reading. Sorry to squash you for who you raised your hand. But you need to learn to read well and spend time with Christ and His Word by reading it, studying the Bible. And this is quiet times. This isn't Bible study in a certain sense, but it's spending time with Him. It's spending time studying what He has to say, listening to what He has to say. And the last one is kind of a legitimate one. The Bible is a complicated book sometimes. Sometimes it's pretty easy. God's very straightforward in what He says. Don't sin. Okay, I got it. It's hard to do. I'm not going to be perfect. I know, that's why I gave you Jesus. That's pretty clear. But some of the other things are kind of tough to understand at times. So I don't understand is a somewhat legitimate excuse. But you know what the fix to that one is? Does anybody have a guess? Huh? Read, that's one of them. Who said it? There you go. Thanks. Ask for understanding. Ask who? God. Who else?
And leaders.
Yeah, or friends. If that one doesn't, like if you ask somebody who doesn't really measure up, go ask a couple more people. Sometimes what we ask, we get an answer and it doesn't make sense. And it's like, I don't understand that, even the answer. So you go ask some more people. We're a body of believers. It's okay to ask questions among each other. It's hard to do. Maybe ask, how do I ask questions? And that's your starting point. But, ask the questions. Ask people to help you. If you don't know how to have a quiet time, ask your leader to sit down with you and have one. This isn't a comprehensive quiet time thing. I'm just kind of telling you some things I do and reasons why I do it. And that this is not a checklist for me. It's a literal spending time with God for me. And I hope that's for you. Okay, so how do we have one? How many of y'all came and expecting just to get this part, the how-to part? It's okay if you did. That's what we're about to talk about. But I hope that it blessed you if you came for the why as well. And so how do we do it? First one is we pray. There's a number of things you do when you pray. I'm not going to tell you how to pray. But just to give you some hints, if you struggle with it, praise God. You know, praise Him for who He is. Thank Him for the things He's done. Confess sin. Commit that time to Him. Say, Lord, I want to give this time to You. I'm going to focus on You. And I want Your help. And sometimes I forget to do that, and it's hard. It's a struggle. Okay, the next thing is I really recommend you start at the beginning of a book. I used to just kind of let the Bible flop open to something. And the problem with that is when I did that, I didn't have enough understanding of the Bible to where, like, the things that were difficult, if I didn't read them in context, even now when I do read them in context, I didn't understand them. And so I would make bad application and bad observations and bad interpretation. And so I really recommend, start it, you know, if you want to read the New Testament in a year, start at Matthew, just read to the end. You can do it. It's not hard. You can do it in this semester. It's easy. Like, you just do it. This is a yearly Bible calendar. Some they sell at the bookstore. This is what I use. It breaks up the Bible in three different sections. Two Old Testament. I'll just open up here. Two Old Testament and one New Testament section a day. I just finished on December 31st. Did the whole thing. Now, you know what? That was the first time I've done it for like 5 or 6 years. That was the first time I've actually done it in a year. Most of the time it's taken longer. But I've always done it. And I'm not bragging. It's just fun. It's what I do. It helps me. This is what Max does or something like this. I learned it from him. Learned it from Strap. I think the first time I was introduced to it was at Life Impact in 2002. It was the very first Life Impact I went to. So get these in the Bible in the bookstore. Here's mine. Charlie Ann at the bookstore said I need to show mine. There's a bunch of paper that's going to fall out. This one's all beat up and tattered. And, you know, it's just fun. You can use it for several years. Just make one line through the first year. Second line through the, you know, complete the X the second year. Make a little star thing the next year. Circle it the next year. 4 years. You've paid like, what is this, a dollar? A dollar that's helped you in your walk with God for 4 years. I think that's a worthy investment, don't you? So grab one. If you can't afford it, come find me. I'll buy you one if you really will use it. So start at the book. That's a good way to do it. That's not what we're going to do today when we do a practice quiet time, but that's what you should do on a regular basis. Just realize that. Okay, the next one is I kind of have this ABC thing. The first one is A, is observe. And it doesn't like... It's just ABC of the alphabet, not like, I don't spell it funny or anything like that, don't worry. Observe. And these are the who, what, where, when, why questions. You're trying to be a journalist here. You're trying to see what God's doing in the Bible. And so, when you're looking at the Bible, say you're looking at, let's look at that Isaiah 51, 1 and 2. Listen to ye who pursue righteousness, seek the Lord. Look through the rock from which you are cut and the quarry from which you are hewn. Look to Abraham your father and Sarah who gave you birth. When I called him, he was but one, and I blessed him and made him many. Well, who's speaking there? God's speaking through Isaiah. Look to me who pursued righteousness. Well, that's a pretty important fact, isn't it? We need to know that. You don't necessarily have to write that down, but it's helpful for some people. I'm that type of person that's helpful to write that kind of stuff down. Look, and he's telling them to seek the Lord. So that's the what is he doing? You see? Now you're like, okay, Alex, that's very simple. I learned that in third grade. Maybe second grade. Maybe you went to like one of the advanced schools and learned it in first. I don't know. But we don't do it when we approach the Bible a lot of times. And I'm not saying, shame on you, you don't do that. What I'm saying is, keep it simple. Spend time with God. Don't ask God for big things. But if he doesn't give you the answer to Calvinism and Arminianism debate, don't be disappointed. Because people have been arguing that for centuries. Okay? Spend time with God. What does he want me to do with my life? Well, Isaiah 51:1-2 says, listen to me, pursue righteousness, seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you're cut and the quarry from which you're hewn. Well, he wants me to listen to him, to look at Abraham, which I could probably extrapolate and say, maybe I should look at some other people too, and see the example of how Abraham and Sarah had one child, but God had promised a nation that was more than the stars, and that he would be a blessing to all the nations. Isn't that awesome? I'm part of that. If you're a follower of Christ today, you're part of that. That's exciting. I want to make disciples. I want to multiply. And so, that's what God wants us to do. It's not that complicated. When in the who, what, where, when, why thing. That's the observation. The B is the interpretation. I'm going to give you three questions. I put them there already. I may have not filled in the blanks for you. I don't remember. Is what did I learn about the nature of God? What is he like? Now, as you're answering these things, you do the who, what, where, when, why, that kind of hard, seemingly simple work, you begin to get a picture, a colorful picture of who God is. And the next one is, what are his ways? And then the final one is what does it say about me? When we read the Bible, we need to see how God wants to change us. We need to have that idea in the back of our mind. Because if we're not, and we're just going to get knowledge, we're doing it the wrong way. We're having checklists. And the Bible isn't about a checklist book. It does have books of lists that help us to say, don't do this, don't do that, do that, do that, don't do this, don't do that. Those are good checklists. But we don't have a checklist faith. And I think one of the reasons why we are not sharing Christ, we're not doing the things we do, is because we treat it like a checklist. We put God in his little box, and we go and meet with him once a day and spend time with him on Sundays. And that's just not the way it is. And so the quiet time for me helps me to remember that. Okay, the next one is application, or just to apply. That's C. I forgot to put that in there. Terp, C, apply. Put red and black up there. I didn't mean to. But it's fun. My Red Raiders did win last night, by the way. It's exciting for me. You know, Ruffin's a good guy. Okay, anyways, back to the point. I'll probably get in trouble for that one, too. Is if we don't apply what we've learned, if we don't apply what we observed and interpreted, it's short-circuited. We're not doing what the Bible tells us to do. Remember we talked about James 1:22? Somebody have that? Okay. What's the last? Just read the last half. Yeah. Be doers of the word. In other translations. So how do we apply the word of God? Well, I don't know who came up with it, but somebody came up with this nifty thing called space pets. And this, you know, the first thing to remember is that the quiet time is not just another thing you check off your list for the things to do today. Much like going on a date with your friend or hanging out with your friend if you don't have a boyfriend or girlfriend, or me and my wife. I don't just check that off. Okay, I had a date with my wife. Check off. I'm a good husband. No, it doesn't work that way. The observation or the quiet time is not a checklist thing. Okay, that's the first thing to get. The next thing is if you walk away and you're like, okay, this space pet thing, I can do this. That's great. I feel like that is just amazingly wonderful thing to do. Space pets. The first one is sin to confess. Is there something that I read that God brought to my attention that I need to confess? Okay, we're going to go fast. I'm not sure. When does this thing get over? Lunch is at noon. Okay, I'm not going to keep you all the way till lunch. That would be mean. Promise to claim.
Wait, what's S?
Sin to confess. P is a promise to proclaim. To claim, sorry. You might need to proclaim it too. A is an attitude to change. That's a big one for me. Right, remember I said I'm grumpy? God reminds me of that quite a bit. C is command to obey. E is example to follow. And this one ties in with what Ms. Hemphill said yesterday. There's a prayer to pray. Now, if you don't know how to pray Scripture, find somebody. Ask them for some help in doing that. But essentially, all you do is turn the... just pray it back to God. Just read it out loud. Just start there. Say, God, I want to pray this verse. Say the verse. I want to pray for so-and-so using this verse. It keeps your relationship just so dynamic. It's a lot of fun. An error to avoid, which is something like you haven't committed the sin yet, but you can see that's something that you don't need to do. It's a good one to do. T is a truth to believe. And S is something to praise God for. The next thing we're going to do, does everybody get those? Okay, if you didn't, come up to me afterwards, I can give it to you. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to kind of have a short little quiet time using the things we've done here. But before I start that, does anybody have any questions? Okay, if you do, that's fine. If you don't want to ask them out loud, that's fine. Just come up and talk to me later. But I will encourage you, if you have questions, a lot of times other people need to hear the answer too. So, and there are workshops, and when you're with people, you know, if you go and ask a speaker to have some lunch or something, ask the questions that kind of might seem a little hard to answer. Or that you might be like, oh, that's a really simple one. That's okay. Just ask those questions. Okay, turn to James, or to John 10. We're going to read 22 through 30, but I really want to focus on 27 through 30. We'll back up, 25 through 30. Somebody read that while I'm erasing this board, please. And so, let's just start with the ABCs. What's the first A? Observe. Let's do some observing.
Okay, instead of the festival of dedication, they're referring to Hanukkah.
Okay.
So, I didn't know that was from
the festival. Uh-huh.
So
Jesus
celebrated
Hanukkah? I guess so. I assumed that was a festival dedication, but I wasn't 100% sure that was Hanukkah. Cool. Cool. Yeah, he did. It was the Hanukkah was, if I might have somebody who has better Jewish history, correct me if I'm wrong. Sure, go ahead.
Is that the feast of Hanukkah commemorated Judas Maccabeus' deliverance of Jerusalem and the temple from the tyranny of the Syrian king that was in who had profaned the temple by close to statue of the Greek god Zeus in the most high place. The Pharisees tried to get Jesus to proclaim himself as the Messiah so he will attract the attention and displeasure from him.
Okay. I don't know how to spell Hanukkah, so that's close enough. So he's celebrating Hanukkah. That's fine for right now. We're running short on time, so we're just going to go with that. Okay. I don't mean any irreverence from that. So we got the win. He's celebrating Hanukkah. It's Christmas, or it's December. Judas Maccabeus is a guy who's super cool, and he kind of, I think he was a priest, and he just went, he led a revolt, let's just put it that way. It's good to know, we got Hanukkah down. You know, he's there, it's celebrating Hanukkah. Jesus was Jewish, he was a good Jew, by the way, even if they didn't want to say that. He was actually the fulfillment of the Old Testament. We got the win, what else do we have?
The where of Solomon's temple.
Where, yeah, that's right. What about the who? Jesus. So I heard somebody say Pharisees. People with them. Okay, so that's a lot of what 22 through 24 talk about, is the who. And the where, and the observations. Let's observe what is he saying in 25 through 30. Another one is You know, what did the Pharisees say? They asked him, how long will you keep us in suspense? It's pretty important to know that question, isn't it? Jesus isn't just running off saying things out of nowhere. He had a reason for saying it. It's pretty important. I won't write that down because that's a lot of words. But, okay, so what else? What are the other what's?
Anybody who's actually for him would know when he said, when he called, that they would come to him.
Okay. Let me stop you there. When you're doing your observations, just restate the Bible. When you begin to put it in your own words, you're starting to interpret. Okay? So observe by just restating the Bible. So what does it say in the Bible? You're right on. What's your name?
Nolan.
Nolan, you're right on, Nolan. Thank you. Go ahead and restate it.
27, he says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me.
Okay. So this is the what? My sheep. So he has sheep. Pretty important to know. Probably Christians, that's interpreting again. They follow him. Pretty important to know. They know his voice. They listen to him. Oh, that's pretty important to know, isn't it? Okay, so we haven't even left the observation part. That says he knows them, sorry. We haven't even left the observation part. And there's some amazing truths to proclaim right there, aren't there? That's very simple, isn't it? As one, he has sheep. They're the people that follow him. They don't just say, hey, I'm a Christian. They actually follow him. They listen. But you know what? For them to listen, he has to be telling them something. So he speaks to his sheep. He talks to them. And he's telling the Pharisees these things. And he's telling the people around him. What if they were his sheep, they knew. And they're hearing this stuff. What comfort would that bring to them? You know what? If you're a follower of Christ today, I'm going to do a little interpreting here just to encourage you right now. You are one of these people. He's telling you stuff, so listen to him. Remember, he wants the best for you? And follow what he says. And he knows you. Isn't that encouraging? We haven't even gotten to the big interpretation stuff and all the application stuff. It doesn't have to be like, I break it down in small parts because that's how I learned. And after I did that, I just kind of start fluidly doing it all together. But I really encourage you, start small and work into that. And so, okay, we've only gotten to 27. What does 28 say? There's still more what there.
I give them eternal life, and they will never perish ever.
That's a pretty big deal, huh? We're just observing, and we're finding these pretty big things. What does 29 say?
He's always given, and he's greater than all.
He's greater than all, and he's given them to the Son. That's pretty cool. Again, we're still on the what. We haven't even got to the interpretation part yet. And when we get there, it might seem a little redundant, but that's because you've broken the text down so well that you're seeing those little chunks, those promises God's making. And then 30 says, I and the Father are one. That is a huge statement that Jesus is making that we'll talk about in a little bit. But that statement to the people that asked him that question was one of the things that they wanted to kill him for. We've got some what's. Does anybody else have anything? Did they see anything? Did y'all see anything that we didn't see that already talked?
Well, twice he says to the Pharisees that no one can snatch his sheep away. So.
Yeah, huge. And he said it two times. And I like how you said that twice he said that. If Jesus says something more than once, he says it once, it's important. If he says it more than once, that close together, he's trying to get his point across. And again, go ask questions. If you see that and you're like, why would Jesus say that twice? That seems kind of redundant. And you don't really want to just say, well, it's because it's important. Go ask somebody. It's important to ask questions. But It's pretty important when Jesus says, no one will snatch them out of my hand. That is a statement of eternal security for those who follow him. That we have life in him. An eternal life. That's a big deal in John, in the book of John. If you were to read beginning from book of John, from chapter 1 to the end, you'd see that eternal life statement a lot. That's a big deal to John. Okay, so let's do the interpretation. What were the questions for the interpretation? Does anybody remember them off the top of your head? Or read them from your paper?
Nature of God.
What is the nature of God? What are the ways of God? What does it say about me? Okay, so I know when we get here it's going to sound a little redundant, but let's do it anyways. So what does this say about the nature of God? I'll do interpretation in black. Might help differentiate. His relationship with God. Why are you coming up with that?
Thoughts. Expect people to listen. Listen to them. The sheep.
Talks. Expects to listen. Anything else? That was really good.
It fulfills the prophecy of what Jeremiah says, that he'll be the shepherd of the Jews.
Okay. He expects us to listen, according to this verse. And you want to stay with what this is saying. Other parts of the things, he promises to hear us. Remember, he says in Luke 18:1, pray without ceasing, essentially. And so, you know, to keep asking. And so we can expect him to listen, but he's going to answer how he wants to answer. And so, you know, we've got to keep that one in mind. So that's a good question. He's generous. How come? Okay. Yeah, and let's look at that for a second. Based on what you know in the Bible, how much did it cost him to give us eternal life? Yeah, Sunday school answer, but it's a pretty important one, isn't it? This is what I've noticed. I'm only 32. I know that seems old for some folks here. But those things, as we meditate on those things that seem so simple, it will radically change us. And if we think about the fact that he was so generous to give us his son, we'll begin to act like that and to want to sacrifice to live for him. And so it's a big deal. He's generous. It cost him his son. That's not a small matter. When Jesus said, is it easier for man to heal a wound or something like that, or forgiven for his sins? It's not a trick question. It's a lot easier to say, get up and walk. Jesus knew the price he was going to have to pay to forgive him his sins. It's a big deal. So, he's generous. What else? Yeah. So he seeks the best for us. We may not always understand it. It may not always be prosperity here, but he seeks the best for us. Huh? Did you say he leads us? Yeah, I'll put that with it. That's good. That's the nature and the ways. Somebody else have something? I saw a hand go up. Yeah, that's a good observation. I've never made that. Shows patience. He's also very firm. You know who Jesus was really firm with, or those close to him and those who were against him? So if you're getting close with him, hold on to your socks. But he loves you. Remember that. What else?
All-powerful. All-powerful.
Yeah. No one can snatch him out of his hand. What else? Okay. How about Jesus and the Father are one? You don't even really have to, like, I'm reading a book that's really big about that. Okay? That's a big topic. You don't have to figure that one out. But taking God at His word, Jesus at His word, that He is God. He's all powerful. And that He and the Father have the same mind, the same purpose, are two persons of the Trinity, the third one being the Holy Spirit. They're one God. I don't understand how it all works out. Maybe y'all have a better idea than I do. But that He's one and He's all powerful, like you were saying. That's a big deal. And when we get a hold of that one, even a little bit, because I don't have a big of it. I mean, I'm just trying to figure that one out. When we start to really believe God in that, though, we begin to walk and follow Him even more. And I don't have that figured out. I'm not standing up here and saying, I do it. Everybody should. I struggle with it. I want to go my own way so often. I react. I don't respond. A lot of times. I run away. My fleeing goes. And God brings me back gently, corrects me, because He is a shepherd. He says, Alex, let's get over here. Follow me. We think about that. We've just had a quiet time together. And we've got a lot out of that, don't we? But what happens if we leave it here? I wouldn't say it's pointless. If I made it sound that way, then I'm sorry. It's not complete, though. That's true. But if you've gotten this far, at least you've gotten this far. Now go the next step. But I agree with you. I mean, it is kind of like, well, that was fun. I'm going to go off and I did my checklist. Now it's time to spend time with God. Let me check that off. Oh, let me pray. Check that off. Just go work out. Check that one off. Yeah. If we've left it here, that's what we've done. So let's apply it. Let's pull out the Space Pets thing. What from the Space Pets things can we do here? Promises, let me go back here. Say it louder, I couldn't hear you. Promise to claim. What promise? Okay. So what's your name? Jesus, how would you proclaim that? Like, I'm not asking you to pray in front of us, I'm just asking you, how would you do it?
Think about maybe things that have been going in my life that I've maybe struggled with and say, I don't have to struggle with it. It's done. Everything, the answer is right here. I don't know.
Yeah. But in an ideal world, you probably wouldn't just do that right then. You'd probably do that throughout the day, right? Yeah. Maybe tomorrow. Even though you've come up with another application the next day. Or maybe a week later. Like, you know what? Jesus told me in John 10:27 last week that I'm a sheep. That's pretty cool. It's a good one. Somebody said something else.
The truth to believe.
Yeah? What truth?
Well, in 31, it goes on to say that the Jews picked up rocks to stone him because of what he just said, what we just read. And we need to believe that because
they didn't, and that's what he wants us to do. Yeah. The truth to believe is that he and the Father were one. You didn't believe that he was Messiah, that he was salvation.
He
tells us
that
he's
the
way,
the truth, and the life.
And
that's a
Okay. Yeah. That's a big deal. Yeah. That's right.
Say a little bit of sin, confess, for all the times that you maybe didn't listen, even though he's trying to lead you.
Yeah.
I think an attitude will change. Sometimes people live in fear of, am I really going to heaven? Does God really care about me? And change the attitude after reading that.
Yeah.
Or the attitude of being in control of your own life when he said he's going to lead you as a shepherd would.
Yeah, he is. He really is. Lou, can I ask you how you would apply it?
Pardon?
Could I ask you how you would apply it?
How?
Like one of the space pet things, how would you do that? Would you? Is there anything that you would take from it?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
I guess just how would you apply this verse to your life in a sense?
To know that he cares most for me, wants to ensure that I love him and that I love other people, because he is love. And the most thing I get out of studying the Bible is show love to other people, which is to care for them, to have their best wishes, or not their best wishes, but the thing that's best for them, to express his love in the world, and to my disciples.
That's cool. Thank you. Anybody else? Y'all have any questions? One of the things I didn't mention, and this has been a question in the past, so I'll answer it myself. The question would be, okay, where do you have a quiet time? How many of y'all live in the dorm? Raise your hands high if you do. I didn't see. Okay, significant portion. Is it hard to have a quiet time in your dorm room? No? It's possible? Okay, good. You normally, most dorm rooms have a little desk there for you. That's a great place. I really encourage you to find one or two places you can go to on a regular basis. Sit down. For me, it's either my kitchen table or I have this big brown leather chair in my living room. And I journal. I didn't even mention journaling. Sorry. I journal on my laptop. And I just pull up a day or a notebook. I have a Mac. And I pull up the Word notebook type thing. And I have January through December. And I just type it in. That way I never have to use paper until I print it out. And I think better when I type rather than when I write. So that's me. So if you haven't done that, you're normally a better typer than a writer, that might be something for you to do. And I normally have a cup of coffee with me because I like to do it in the morning, and I am a college minister, so I don't get a lot of sleep sometimes. This guy's like, you keep me up. But anyway, so I'll get coffee, spend time with Jesus, have a banana, you know, do that type of thing. It's pretty routine for me, but it's time with him. And I'm not saying I'm perfect at this checklist thing. At times I fall into that still. But I really try to keep it out of there. Another thing that I forgot to mention, and this is extremely important. I mentioned it beforehand, but I didn't do it in examples. I wanted to remind us. We have to pray before we interpret the Word of God. And I'm sorry that I didn't lead that example by doing that this time. But think about that whenever you're having your quiet times. Make sure you pray. Make sure you humble yourself before our God. And know that he's the boss and you're the follower. So if we don't have any questions or any final statements, which y'all feel free to make them if you need them. Okay. All right. Then let me pray for us and y'all go to lunch. QW is right down the road. It's really good. Father, thank you so much for your patience with us, for your love with us. The fact that you loved us enough to send your son to die on the cross for us and didn't leave him in the grave, but you rose him from the grave. And that we can celebrate that on a daily basis, on a minute by minute, hourly basis, that we can spend time with you through through these things we call quiet times, these little events, through memorizing Scripture and spending time in the Word throughout the day, through meditating on what you taught us in the morning or the night before. I pray that we'd be a people of your Word, that we would apply it, we would not leave it, just so that we have knowledge. That's a very dangerous place to be, Lord. I've been there. I understand the gravity of being arrogant. I don't understand it fully, but I sure have seen it in myself. Just how unusable we are when we are that way. And Father, we're supposed to be a people who are out there to be used for your kingdom work. And I thank you. Having a quiet time, spending time with you in relationship, listening and speaking in a regular period of time a day is so vital in being kingdom Christians. And so I pray that that's what we would be. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.